would you like for lunch today, my little cherry blossom? Asked Yoko's mother.
All of my favorite things, please, answered Yoko. Yoko's mother spread steamed rice on a bamboo mat. She rolled up a secret treasure inside each piece. Then she packed it all in a willow-covered cooler.
Have a wonderful day at school, my little cherry blossom, said Yoko's mother. I will, answered Yoko.
Yoko said hello to all her friends. Everyone in Mrs. Jenkins' class sang the good morning song.
At noon, Ms. Jenkins rang the lunch bell. Lunchbox says out and open, please, children, said Ms. Jenkins. Timothy unwrapped a peanut butter and honey sandwich. Valerie had cream cheese and jelly. Fritz had a meatball grinder. Tulip had Swiss cheese on rye. Hazel had egg salad on pumpernickel. Doris had squeeze cheese on white. And the Franks had Franks and beans.
Yoko opened the willow-covered cooler, and inside was her favorite sushi. Tucked into the rice rolls were the crispest cucumbers, the pinkest shrimp, and the greenest seaweed, and the tastiest tuna.
What's in your lunch? Asked one of the Franks. Ick! It's green! It's seaweed! Oh no, said the other Frank. Don't tell me that's raw fish. Watch out! It's moving, said Doris. Yakorama, said Tulip and Fritz. Valerie blew the playtime whistle. Everybody out, said Valerie.
Yoko did not want to play ball or swing on the swings. What's wrong, Yoko? Asked Mrs. Jenkins. Everybody's laughing at my lunch, answered Yoko. They'll forget about it by snack time, said Mrs. Jenkins.
But they didn't. During the snack time song, Yoko opened a thermos of red bean ice cream. Red bean ice cream is for weirdos, snorted the Franks. Mrs. Jenkins switched to the friendly song. But Mrs. Jenkins knew that the friendly song was not enough. And late into the evening, she fretted about Yoko. And then finally, the answer came to her.
Dear parents, Monday will be International Food Day at Hilltop School. Everyone is asked to bring in a dish from a foreign country. Everyone must try a bit of everything. Happy cooking, Mrs. Jenkins.
We will make a deluxe sushi for the whole class, said Yoko's mother. Don't worry, my little cherry blossom. Everyone will try our sushi and everyone will love it.
On Monday morning, Valerie and her mother carried in a plate of enchiladas.
Timothy and his mother made Caribbean coconut crisps.
Hazel brought in Nigerian nut soup.
Harry brought Brazil nuts.
Doris brought Irish stew.
Tulip brought potato knishes.
Monica brought a pitcher of mango smoothies.
Fritz brought spaghetti.
Big Frank cooked up a pot of Boston Franks and beans.
At noon, Ms. Jenkins rang the lunch bell and everyone sang the Clean Hand song. What does International Food Day mean to us, children? Asked Ms. Jenkins. Try everything, said everybody.
When Valerie blew the playtime whistle, there was not a nibble of nuts or a sip of smoothie left. But no one had touched even one piece of Yoko's sushi.
Yoko sat under the learning tree. Suddenly, she heard the clickety-clack of chopsticks It was Timothy. He was still hungry.
Let me show you how, said Yoko.
Timothy polished off the rest of the crab cones his own way. Can we have sushi again tomorrow, he said. I'll ask my mother, answered Yoko.
During the school bus song, Timothy found a coconut crisp in his pocket. He gave it to Yoko. It's even better than red bean ice cream, said Yoko.
And on the bus, Timothy and Yoko made plans to push their desks together and open a restaurant the very next day.
And they did. They ordered tomato sandwiches and dragon rolls. For dessert, they had brownies with green tea ice cream. And they couldn't have asked for anything more.
On the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we celebrate in this congregation what we call a multi-bread communion. We started doing this after some of us experienced it at a Unitarian Universalist General Assembly in a worship service that was facilitated by the Unitarian Universalist Council for Cross-Cultural Engagement.
The idea of the welcome table, the term itself, can be traced back to the era of slavery in this country. For many enslaved people, the promise of a banquet table at which they will find themselves welcome was both a vision of heaven and an act of resistance. It was an affirmation of their fundamental humanity in the face of a culture that dehumanized them at every turn. It was a declaration of their inherent worth and the promise of liberation.
Using the image of the welcome table can be tricky for communities like ours, composed primarily of people who identify as or who are identified as white. It was, after all, white people who denied a place at the table for enslaved women, children, and men, who still deny a full share to people of color. It is important that we be mindful of this historic context, as well as the continuing power of the vision of a banquet table at which all of humanity is welcome. No one left out. No one denied entry. A feast for all.
The story that inspired our annual bread communion, our annual multi-bread communion, tells of an interfaith council that was working to develop a really, truly inclusive, community-wide Thanksgiving feast. As the planning went on, different groups talked about different kinds of breadstuffs that were comforting within their communities. White bread, yes, but also tortillas, crisp bread, rice crackers, challah, pumpernickel, and many, many others.
On the Sunday before Thanksgiving, instead of going to the houses of worship they usually attended, the people of the town went to the town green, where there was a big tent. And inside the tent, there were tables and chairs set up. And on those tables, there was every kind of bread and cracker they could find. And each person felt welcome, and each person felt included, and everyone was able to get a taste of the unfamiliar as well.
Well, we have a table here laden with every kind of bread and cracker we could find. Each of us is invited to come forward to take part in this gratitude feast, this multi-bread communion. We hope you'll find here something that tickles your taste buds and satisfies your soul.
And while we each come forward, we're going to sing the hymn, Let Us Break Bread Together. It is one of the sorrow songs, a spiritual. If you heard this song being sung late at night in the slave quarter, you would know that there was going to be a secret meeting early in the morning in the Hush Harbor on the east side of the land. It is a song of faith that is also a secret code song for making your way to freedom.
As we sing, let us be aware not only of this deep historical significance, but also of the power of kneeling as a universal human gesture of humility and vulnerability. Even more than traveling together or standing together, those who kneel together commit to spending time in one another's presence, learning and listening and growing together in humility and in strength. This is a different way for us to reach freedom, even today. We will now invite you to come forward to our welcome table.